This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. Great to have you here on this Wednesday. Beautiful out there. 80 right now, and let's call it cloudy. Tonight, a low of 70. It's going to be hot tonight. Tomorrow, expect rain. The rain is coming. A high of 81, getting down to 63 as the low. And then on Friday, partly cloudy, a high of 78. Summer weather right here in Lansing. Well, we now know it's not going to happen. We're not going to see a repeal without a replace plan of the Affordable Care Act. The Senate was not able to get the job done today. Now, what does that really mean? What is ahead for healthcare in America? Mark Fendrick is with us. Dr. Fendrick is the director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design, has studied this inside and out. Dr. Fendrick, great to have you on WILS.
Happy to be back, Michael.
Yeah.
High drama in the U.S. Senate this week.
Yeah. How closely are you following all these developments?
I don't watch C-SPAN that often, but I have on right now as we speak.
And what do you make of these latest developments? What does that really mean to us now?
Well, I don't want Americans and your listeners in the Lansing area to think that this health care repeal and replace discussion is over. The Republicans still have one more possibility up their sleeve. It's a minimalist measure that abolishes two of the most controversial aspects of Obamacare by repealing some taxes and, of course, getting rid of the individual mandate. This is being dubbed as what's called the skinny repeal. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll hear an awful lot about that between now and likely a vote tomorrow night.
If we get rid of the individual mandate, what does that do?
Well, I think there's a lot of debate about that, and the fact that many believe that the only way to maintain reasonable premiums is to have a broad pool of people in the insurance market, similar to the way employees of a company cover in a large group plan. Mm-hmm. What is worrisome to many is that as young people opt out, then the folks who need care will be more likely to be insured. Premiums will skyrocket, and some people say that this would lead to what is often mentioned as a death spiral.
Yeah, but these young people, they're not signing up right now anyway, are they?
Well, I'd like to think that more people are signing up when they're told they have to and have to pay a tax penalty as opposed to not saying it at all. Mm-hmm. Like I've told you before, this current law is so far from perfect. But again, you know, it's would you rather have the known knowns than unknown knowns or the unknown unknowns, as Secretary Rumsfeld once said?
Now, you talk about a death spiral. What would that look like? What happens when that occurs?
Well, I think that what again, people seem to talk about is that we get a situation that either people who want plans with fairly generous coverage will have to pay very, very high premiums, or for those who don't want a high premiums or can't pay high premiums may end up with very what we call skinny plans. And the fact that many people, in my opinion, should have a choice to buy those things. But again, I don't want folks who know, like those with chronic diseases, to have predetermined needs to not be able to get the care they need because they can't afford a plan.
Okay, but are we heading that direction anyway with the current state of the Affordable Care Act?
I think I've tried to take a fine line working with a bipartisan idea like value-based insurance design. Mm-hmm. I think that there are many ways to fix the current healthcare insurance situation. I tend to be more of an incremental person who likes to make changes to existing things, not only the Affordable Care Act, but there are a lot of strong arguments to start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But that has much greater risks involved,
okay,
particularly as people talk about large number of people who don't want to lose their coverage may end up with nothing.
So if we do nothing right now, if we don't change anything in the Affordable Care Act, are we going to end up in a death spiral, basically?
I don't think so. I think that a lot has to determine, as we talked about last time on the air, that if the executive branch of the Trump administration doesn't decide to prop up the existing marketplaces, I think we're in a bad way either way. Mm-hmm. There is, I think, bipartisan support if this last-ditch effort does not go through, that there will likely be some type of effort to keep the existing markets, at least to prop them up in a short time, so there's not, as you say, this utter collapse.
Okay. Now, the idea of basically moving healthcare to the states and really more fundamentally changing the system, are you saying that that might be too drastic of a step to take?
Not at all. It just all comes down to money. And I'm a practicing physician, as you know, and not an economist or a finance person. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, as we've talked before, if they keep in these large tax cuts that take away hundreds of millions of dollars to the system, I think we have a problem regardless. There are a lot of these amendments coming from both sides of the aisle suggesting to put in real dollars to prop up Medicaid coverage and reinsurance for those people who are particularly high utilizers.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mark Fendrick with us, director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design. Is today a good day for health insurance or a bad day? How do you see what's happened today?
I think what this is a good day is why we should all pay attention in our fifth grade civics class. I think that it's, as your lead suggested, and a lot of people are guessing that with the voting down of both the repeal and replace that we talked about a few weeks ago and the pure full repeal bill, many people are thinking this is all over. There's still a lot of procedural possibilities to work this through that we may actually see something quite similar, say, to either what the House passed some weeks ago or what the Senate failed to pass just a few weeks ago to some disdain of the administration.
This kind of, was it the skinny repeal type thing? Is that what we're talking about?
No, the skinny repeal has never come to bear. I think, you know, people were much more interested in these significant changes to the ACA. Mm-hmm. As you know, these were major aspects of the Affordable Care Act being changed, and some of them going beyond the ACA in terms of what was going to happen to the Medicaid program.
You're cutting back on the expansion, basically, right?
Right. So this skinny repeal has nothing to do with expansion, at least to my read. Mm-hmm. This is to take what I believe are two elements that I think all Republicans have spoken about. They don't like the mandate, and they don't like these taxes because they think these taxes to the insurance companies and the device manufacturers are actually pushing up premiums.
Yeah.
But the skinny repeal, again, we haven't seen it in detail yet, doesn't include any other elements, which I believe will be, again, brought to the table at what's called the conference committee meeting when the past Senate bill, which is minimalist, and the House bill that's passed, which is quite extensive, mm-hmm. and we've talked about in some detail, and that committee will hammer out some unknown bill that I believe there'll be intense pressure for both houses to pass and the president to sign.
Yeah. Do you end up sitting down and reading these complex bills when they're finalized yourself? Or?
Well, I tend to focus on insurance reform and payment reform. Mm-hmm. A lot of these aspects of these larger bills, as you know, are financial and related to taxes. And that, a lot of that has been lost, I think, in the debate, maybe not to your listeners, but those who don't pay close attention to that. So healthcare is extraordinarily complicated,
very complicated,
as you know.
I wish
we spent a little more time talking about the health of Americans than what we're paying for health care in this country, but I don't think we're going to win that battle this time around.
I'm curious, then, why are we subsidizing these major, incredibly profitable insurance companies?
I'm not sure we're saying we're actually subsidizing them. In fact, one of the aspects in this skinny bill is to repeal taxes on them. So mm-hmm. one of the more favorable aspects of Obamacare to the business community was actually to limit the amount of non-healthcare expenditures that insurance companies could impose. These are the things that would go to executive salaries and profits. Mm-hmm. And there was also a tax, as you might have talked about, geared to Michigan and maybe even Lansing, called the Cadillac tax, which was one to try to prevent the increased use of these overly generous health plans that give beneficiaries the opportunity to not only buy the services that make them healthier, but maybe have incentives to buy and use services that don't.
Mm-hmm. And so, but still, I mean, do insurance companies somehow take advantage of the system? Do you believe that?
Well, I'm not sure. Again, someone who's kind of worked with a very broad multi-stakeholder coalition, if you think about the key elements, you have the providers of care. They have been accused of the same. You have the manufacturers of devices and drugs. They have been accused of the same. You have the health plans, which you are accusing of the same. I've been trying to, with a very, very minute drumbeat out of our great state of Michigan, to bring attention to the fact that the one stakeholder that seems not to have as big a, you know, piece in this discussion, I'd hope, are my patients and your listeners. And I think that we need to really have a bit more of a laser focus on if we're really going to achieve what we want to get out of our trillions of dollars of spending on healthcare in the U.S. Because we have far more money in the system than every other country. Because if you said many times, we're not getting the health outcomes that we deserve for that amount of money.
So one last thing. In this entire debate, who would you say is representing, who's really looking out for all the patients then?
That's a tough call. You know, I'm very proud of the Michigan delegation, both Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate. They have spoken up for our Michiganders. I haven't heard as much as I might have liked out of Lansing in the fact that there have been a lot of very positive things that have come to hundreds of thousands of people in Michigan, and several other Michiganders who are not in direct healthcare industry to benefit from the Michigan Medicaid expansion or the Healthy Michigan plan. And this expansion is not perfect, but I would have to say that, like many other states that have spoken up with Republican leaders, there is something to be said about the federal government giving us a boost to allow us to provide some type of health insurance for those who either are not eligible or cannot afford one on the state insurance exchange.
Dr. Mark Fendrick, director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design. Dr. Mark Fendrick right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Mark.
My pleasure. Yep. VBIDCenter.org, Michael. Just Google VBID. You can learn a lot more about what we're doing.
VBID. Google that. VBID.